This is Father Bob Warren of the Franciscan Friars of the Atonement. Thank you for listening to this rebroadcast of the Ave Maria Hour radio show. The Friars' popular Ave Maria Hour was first brought to the radio airwaves in 1939, recorded in New York City and on the Mountainside grounds at Graymore, a home in Garrison, New York. These timeless classic stories of the Bible and the lives of the saints came to life each week through dramatic reenactment by professional actors and actresses. You know, friends, Christ once said, "Do not hide your treasure under a bushel." In saying this, he meant share your gifts, share your talents. The Friars of the Atonement feel the message in these broadcasts remains as powerful and timely as when they were originally aired, and we are so happy to be able to share them with you today. To learn more about the missions and ministries of the Friars of the Atonement, I invite you to visit our website, www.atonementfriars.org. In the meantime, sit back and enjoy this rebroadcast of the Ave Maria Hour.
St. Elizabeth. Our story begins in Judea more than 19 centuries ago. One of the priests of the temple was Zachary. His wife, Elizabeth, was a simple, devout woman, childless and well along in years. We find them in their home on the outskirts of the city.
Elizabeth.
Yes, Zachary.
Have you finished packing my things?
Almost. There, now they're ready. I've put in a change of warmer clothing, should it suddenly turn cold.
I'm only going up to the temple to serve my appointed course at the altar, Elizabeth. I'm not making a journey abroad.
Even so, I don't want you to be cold.
Always thinking of my welfare. Always worrying about me. It's a pity you've no children to look after.
Oh, Zachary.
I know. It is the tragedy of my life as it is of yours. But the Lord does all things for the best, and he has not seen fit to give us children. We must accept it as his will.
I do. I'm only wishing. But let's speak of pleasant things in the few moments you have left before you go to the temple. And by the way, if you should see my cousin Mary, please give her my love.
I shall probably see her.
I haven't seen her since her parents died. She must be quite a young lady.
Now she is a beautiful girl, as good as she is beautiful. Everyone around the temple reveres and loves her.
She is old enough for marriage now. I hope she may find as good a husband as I did.
I hope she may find a better one, Elizabeth. The last time we priests held a conference, someone suggested we should seek for a worthy youth among the faithful who would make her a good husband.
I don't know why you didn't tell me all this before. I've been worrying about Mary.
Well, my mind has been so filled with all I have heard about the coming Messiah that I had forgotten about Mary. I believe they are right to say the times are at hand, Elizabeth. Seems to me all the prophecies point to our own days as the period when he will be born.
Perhaps he has already been born. Perhaps some mother blessed above all others is even now holding him in her arms. It is only we who are childless who can have no hope.
There now, my dear, you are sad again. Turn your thoughts to the great hope of all our people. If it is realized in our lifetimes, then we may see him, even speak with him.
But he will be a great king, Zachary. I should fear a great king. No, I shall pray that I may meet him as a baby, a child like any other child. No one can fear a baby. One can only love them.
Zachary arrived at the temple and made his way to the priest's court. As was the custom, lots were cast to see what function each of the priests should perform. It fell to Zachary's lot to offer incense in the Lord's honor at morning and evening. As the other priests left for their appointed tasks, Zachary went back of the curtain that hid the altar of incense. Here he was alone. Awe filled his heart. He bowed before the altar. From beyond the curtain, the sound of prayer from the congregation in the outer courts came to his ears like the soothing murmur of a distant sea. He began to pray.
O Lord of hosts, one eternal, ever just, yet ever merciful God, receive the prayers of your people offered you by San Dolphin, the angel of prayer. Remember how long and patiently your people have waited for their deliverer. Grant that the time be now at hand. Grant that the long-awaited Messiah be born. Who are you? You were not present when I dropped the curtain. Yet here you are, a figure standing at the right of the altar of incense. A figure all in white, radiant and beautiful. Who are you?
Your petition has been heard, Zachary.
My petition?
On your lips was a prayer for the coming of the Messiah. But in your heart was the thought of your wife, Elizabeth. The prayer spoken and that unspoken have both been heard. Your wife, Elizabeth, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name John.
A son?
He shall be great before the Lord, and go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of fathers to their children, and the incredulous to the wisdom of the just, to prepare for the Lord a perfect people.
No. I have grieved too deeply that we are childless. You are an illusion, a figure of vision that will vanish. You mock me because I am old, and so is my wife. We have long since ceased praying for a child. But you do not vanish. Who are you?
I am Gabriel, a messenger of the Lord sent to tell you these things. But you do not believe me.
No.
Then until what I have told you comes to pass, you shall speak no more.
I...
See? You try to answer me and cannot. You shall not have a voice until all that I have promised you shall come to pass.
It was after sundown when Zachary came out of the sanctuary. Several of his friends, waiting for him in the temple court, became alarmed at his strange appearance and his inability to speak. They quickly took him home.
Zachary, what has happened?
Now, calm yourself, Elizabeth.
Oh, Zachary, my dear, are you in pain? Are you...
He cannot speak. He seems to know all we say to him, but he cannot or will not answer us.
Oh.
No, you had better have him lie down, Elizabeth.
Oh, Zachary.
At his age, such illnesses may be quite serious.
What is it, Zachary? What are you trying to tell me?
I recall Solomon the sandal maker had just such a seizure a few days before his death.
Yes, exactly the same. I remember it as if it were but yesterday.
You were kind to bring him home, very kind. Now, will you please leave us alone?
Very well, if you wish.
And now, what has happened, Zachary? Oh, it is true, you cannot speak. But I see no sign of illness or terror in your eyes. Oh, why couldn't they tell me what happened? Only their wailing that you were ill and would die, nothing else. Let me see. You were in the temple, serving at the altar, and... Zachary, did you receive some revelation from the Most High? Oh, you nod your head. Oh, speak and tell me. The writing tablet. Why didn't I think of it before? Oh, here it is. I will hold it as you write. Gabriel, an angel who stands in the presence of the Lord, appeared before me and told me that you should have a son. I shall have a son. Oh, I shall no longer be a reproach in Israel. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord, for he has heard and answered our prayer.
Solicitations and curiosity of her neighbors led Elizabeth to take a small cottage in the hill country, and there she awaited the birth of her child. One morning, after Zachary had left for the temple, a young woman appeared at the door of the cottage.
Elizabeth?
Yes?
Oh, dear Elizabeth, don't you know me? I'm your cousin, Mary.
Mary? My little Mary. Little no longer, but a woman.
How are you, Elizabeth?
Yes, it is Mary. And yet that radiance above your head. That tide of blessed joy that swept all my being when you greeted me. A tide of joy so strong that even my unborn child seemed to feel it and to respond. Oh, blessed are you among women, Mary. And blessed is the child that shall be born of you.
I've come because I love you, Elizabeth, and I've come a little, perhaps, because I know that for you, too, the Lord has done great things.
You know, then, that I am to have a child.
An angel told me, Elizabeth. Even Gabriel, who came to me with a message I would not dare confide to other ears.
Then it is you who will be the mother of him whose coming the prophets foretold.
Yes, Elizabeth. Through me, he will fulfill the promise made to our father Abraham.
Oh, then I shall know the Messiah as a baby, even as I hoped.
When Elizabeth's child was born, and when he was named John in obedience to the angel's command. Then Mary returned to her own home in Nazareth. Several years have gone by. The boy John is talking to his mother.
Mother, do you remember when we walked so far we came to the desert?
Yes, of course, John.
We saw some men dressed in strange clothes. You said they were holy men. They spent all their time praying to the Lord Most High.
Yes, dear.
Mother, I must go and live in the desert, too.
Oh, John, would you want to leave us all alone?
No, Mother. I don't want to, but I must. Somebody keeps saying to me, you must go into the desert, John, and pray and fast, and make yourself ready for the work you have to do.
But who is it who says this to you, John?
I don't see him. I don't even hear him with my ears. But he says it to me all the time. I must go and live with the holy men in the desert, Mother.
We will see, John. And now go back to your work in the garden. And as you go, stop in the next room and tell your father I wish to see him.
Yes, Mother. Mother wants to see you, Father.
Yes. I'm coming, Elizabeth.
Oh, Zachary. You heard what John said.
Yes, I heard.
Zachary, I waited so long for a child. Must I give him up so soon?
Remember the day he was named, the day I recovered my speech. That day I think I glimpsed a little of the plan of the Most High. Do you remember?
I shall never forget it. It was as if the Lord himself spoke words of majesty and beauty through your lips.
In that moment of inspiration, I said of John, "And thou, child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High. For thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give his people knowledge of salvation through forgiveness of their sins."
I remember the words well, Zachary.
We have always known that John would not be as other men. There were the words the angel spoke to me that day in the temple. There were my words, yet not mine. For when I spoke them, it was the Lord's voice speaking through me, and then...
You need not tell me what I must do, Zachary. I have always known in my heart that our son was sent us for God's work. And the time must come when the Lord Most High would call him to accomplish it. It is only my mother's heart that protests against his leaving us. But he shall go to live among the holy men in the desert.
And John remained in the desert for some time. Meanwhile, his father Zachary died.
Mightier than I.
John often went among the people preaching.
A mightier than I is coming after me. The strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to loose. I have baptized you with water. But he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Go to your homes now, and do not lose hope. For I promise you, he will surely come.
Who is that man? He is one of the holy men from the desert. For days he's been coming to the Jordan, preaching and baptizing. Beyond that, I know nothing of him. You might ask that elderly lady there. I saw her speaking with him this morning.
You mean that one over there on our right?
Yes.
Oh, your pardon, madam. Do you know the holy man?
Yes, his name is John.
Well, does he come from near here?
He was born in the hill country. He is my son.
Your son?
I am the widow of Zachary, who was a priest in the temple. And John is our only child. Oh, but excuse me, sir. He is coming now.
Yes, of course.
Oh, John.
Mother.
Oh, I did not know you could preach like this, John. The people around me were deeply moved by your words.
Oh, Mother, I wish I could touch every heart in Israel. Our salvation is at hand now. The hour of our deliverance has come. At any moment I shall see him and greet him, our promised Messiah. Oh, Mother, who is he? Once you told me you thought you knew.
I am certain I know, John. But were I to tell you his name, you would never be sure whether my words or inspiration from on high led you to hail him as the promised one. It is better I keep silent, my son.
You're right, Mother. I shall know him when the moment comes, for God has promised me so. Until then, I must prepare his way as best I can by preaching repentance and justice and mercy. When he comes, my mission will be over. No, Mother, it's so long since I saw you or had any word of you.
John,
what has happened since... Mother, who is that man?
Where?
That man walking down to the riverbank. He is the one I must proclaim. He is the Messiah. And I do not even know his name.
That is Mary's son, John. His name is Jesus.
And Jesus was baptized by John in the Jordan. And immediately on coming up from the water, he saw the heavens opened and the Spirit as a dove descending and remaining upon him. And there came a voice from the heavens, "Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased." When he had proclaimed the Messiah, the mission of Elizabeth's son was almost ended. There was but one more task before him, and that was to rebuke Herod, the corrupt petty ruler of the province. John did his duty as he saw it, and for it he was beheaded.
Dead, my son, my only son, to die so, his body mutilated. Oh, I do not murmur against you, great Lord of hosts. I only try to understand. Why? Elizabeth. Oh, Mary. Then you know.
Yes, I know. I came as soon as I learned. The door was open and I heard you sobbing, so I came in.
He was my son, Mary. The son the Lord gave me after so many years of waiting and praying. And now he lies dead in some nameless grave. Would God I might have died in his stead.
Jesus said of him once that among those born of women, there had never been a greater one than John. Jesus loved him, Elizabeth. I know he too is weeping for him.
Dead. If I could have been with him when he died.
No, Elizabeth. He lives. Among those who wait until the redemption of mankind shall be accomplished. Elizabeth, for those who know and love the Lord, death is not the end of life. John died in the cause of right and truth. And those are the Lord's own causes. It was a sacrifice for the Lord, and he will reward.
I do believe, Mary. I thought there was no comfort left in all the world, but you have brought me comfort. How have I deserved that you, the mother of my Lord, should come to me twice, each time in my hour of greatest need.